started the Mishkan Kuf Kofim. But our Shimon Ben Ana says it's been, if you have a piece of wooden furniture that's caught flame on Shabbos, you're not permitted to extinguish the flame, but you're permitted to put a moist leather covering on the other half of the furniture, so that when the flame reaches an inch further, this side of the furniture is on fire. So I'm going to put a leather cover on the other part. If I know in advance that the leather is not going to catch fire, it's not flammable, and this will prevent that half of the furniture from catching flame, that's not called the mechaber. Mele, the fire will go out on its own. If there's no more fuel, it goes out. Let's say there's a fire, and I move out all the furniture into the hallway, and I close the door, and it's a metal door, and it prevents the flame from going out into the hallway. Mele, the flame is going to go out. So that's not a violation of mechaber. If I remove all the potential fuel, that's not a violation of mechaber. So that's what it says. Parsim orshel gedi. The Mishnah Berurah raised the issue of muktzah. Or shall be sometimes looks and sometimes not. So he worked on that topic. Okay. Parsim or shall be, but that's not the main theme in the Mishnah. That's Derech Agav, the Mishnah Berurah's issue. Agav Yishida Teva Mitzel is a wooden piece of furniture. Shachas Lamis Ha'ur. The flame is consuming the one side. Mivnei Shehu Mechar, because it's not really flammable. Because the or shall be is not going to catch flame. It'll get singed a little bit. So that's not a violation of Havar. Then the Gemara is going to say that it's still Reb Shimon ben Ana speaking. He has another hetzer. There's a flame in the house, and I want to prevent it from extending further. So I'm going to take away all of the furniture, and I'm going to put pots around in a circular arrangement that are not flammable. So when the fire gets to these pots, they won't catch flame, and it will prevent it from spreading further. So maybe the fire will go out. So that's not mechaber. I blocked the way of the fire from going further. Oisim mechitza. I make a mechitza b'chal hakelim. Melei meimkan, doesn't matter whether it has water, does not have water. And even though the container may crack because of the heat, and the water will come out, and the water will extinguish the flame, that already is kibui. That's not just preventing. That's not just removing potential fuel. That the water is going, the container is going to crack from the heat, and the water is going to spill out and extinguish the flame. So that's called Gram Kibui. So the Tanakama is Rav Shimon ben Ana. Tanakama says that Gram Kibui is mutter, at least the Mokam Deleiko, at least you see from the Mishnah. That's what the Chazon Ish points out. He thinks that this is a Machlekes Tosfos in the Mordechai. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mordechai, who says that the Heter of the Tanakama Rav Shimon ben Ana is to allow Gram Kibui is only because it's a Mokam Hefsed over here, the Mokam Dleika. But if it weren't a Dleika, then Tanakhama would have said that Gram Kibui is also the Rabbonim. Zana, he said, there I said, the Gemara is going to learn after the Pesukim. How does it say? Loisasa kol malocha, see who the Yosef, Gram Mashari, 10 lines from the bottom. You have a dig from the Gemara that only Asiya is also. But still, it would be also the Rabbonim. It's Amir and Achri is also. So Gram Malocha is also the Rabbonim. It's only Mutab and Mokam Dleika. And the Tosfos, that's what the Chazon Ish points out. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos quotes this from the Mordechai and our Mishnah and Kol Kislev. But the Tosfos in the end of Kira, as well as the Tosfos in Beis Adav Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, would appear to say that the Gram Kibui is Muta period, that there isn't even an Issa de Rabbanah. But we follow the Ashkenazim, follow the Ramah. Okay, there is an Issa Gram Kibui mid Rabbanah, and the Mokam Dleika we allow it. And that's what the recent post can say, if it's Muta B'Mokam Dleika, that's why they came up with these grumma telephones and so on, that b'makom chole one is permitted to violate a malacha yidei grumma. Rabbi Yosi prohibits gram kibui. That's the Gemara is going to have a half a minute there. Rabbi Yosi holds that gram kibui is aser period, even b'makom lake. And then the Gemara says, no, not that he holds. Not that he disagrees with the pasuk, he agrees on the level of the raisa. That's correct. Let's ask Kamalocha Rasihu Diyasa Gram Ashori. He has a new gzera midirabbanon. We're concerned Adam Bolam Amono. If you'll permit the person to do this Gram Kibui, so then Shema Yova Lachabos. Maybe he'll do real malocha. That's how Igmar comes to the maskana. The Rabbi Yosi holds the Tanuk Zera Dirabbanon. Mikra then he really agrees with the Chachamim that Gram Kibui is really muta.
Well, is this going to be only a case where this is happening on Shabbat, or where you're setting up the mechanism also from Erev Shabbat? They set up this kind of thing that in case that there should be a fire, that you set up the comments this thing. Also, would Mordechai going to agree with Tosfos in such a case?
Is the Mordechai going to agree with Tosfos that if you set up a system on Erev Shabbos that's going to cause Ram Kippur on Shabbos, that it should be Mutter? That it should be Mutter? We'll have to learn a lot to find out that story. We spoke a little bit about that. Beitzil and Beishamai have a machlokes in the Mishnah on the background. We already did. Yud Zayin Amud Beis says machlokes Beishamai said, are you permitted to set up a system on Erev Shabbos when the Melacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos? Should Beishamai say it's not allowed? And Beitzil say that it is allowed. And we pass like Beitzil. It is permissible to put on the sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos and it continues to water the lawn into Shabbos. It is permissible to put raw wool into the dye on Erev Shabbos, and it absorbs the dye beginning before Shabbos, and it continues to absorb the dye into Shabbos. So we pass like this, so that it's permissible. And then there was a machlokes, what if you set up a system with them on Erev Shabbos when the melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos? Maybe then they still should agree to Beis Shammai that it should be allowed, that it should be forbidden with the Rabbanim. Maybe the silver would be muddy. So that was a big machlokes, and the majority when they started with Shabbos clocks. So he's setting up a system where the melacha of hadlaka, havara, is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. So the majority of the Gedolei HaTorah held that it was mutter, that this too was included in Bisil's opinion, and the Manari held that it was asa. And then they found the Ksaviyat of the Rambam that they printed in Eretz Yisrael, that the Ksaviyat, the Rambam wrote all of his svarim in Hebrew or Arabic. So this is unusual. They found the Ksaviyat of, supposedly of the Rambam, that was written in Aramaic, like the Rashba, like Tosfos, written in this, but even more Aramaic, real Aramaic, like the Yad Ramah. Really written, a commentary of the Rambam on Masech HaShabbos, written in an Aramaic. That was Chiddush number one. And the Ksav Yad goes till the end of the first Perek, and it has on this Mishnah, and the Rambam says, like the Miut, like the minority, that the only time it's based on the Yerushalmi, the only time Bishul will allow you to do this is because the Melacha began on Erev Shabbos, but to set up a system when the Melacha is to arrange on Erev Shabbos, and the Melacha should begin in the middle of Shabbos, even Bishul would agree that that's not allowed. So Moshe Feinstein writes that even though it was Niskabel, Lehekula, Lehetere, to set up the Shabbos clocks before Shabbos, so he recommends that it was only Niskabel, Lehekula, where the Shabbos clocks are enhancing Kol Shabbos. But it's not, if it's not really enhancing Kol Shabbos, we should really be machmer like the other, like the Das HaMachmir, like the Rambam. Especially after they discovered that the Rambam is in the group of the Machmir, the whole Machlokes was the Gedolim in the early 1900s in Europe, and then all of a sudden they found that the Rambam sides with the Machmir. So that's the Shaila. What about the set up a system on Erev Shabbos that's going to cause a melacha to occur in the middle of Shabbos, Ayidei Grom? It's not even going to be a melacha, it's going to be Ayidei Grom. So that's the last Tosfos in Kira. We're going to talk about that. The last Mishnah with the last Tosfos. What about setting up a system on Erev Shabbos that will cause a groma of kibui? A benchlicht in such a way that at a certain time, Gram kibui will occur. So is there anything wrong with that? So we got to take a look. We got to take a look. The last Tosfos in the Perek of Kira. Okay, coming attractions. I think Kira comes next. I remember. After we finish this Perek, then we're supposed to do Kira. We got it ready. Okay. So let's see. The Gemara quotes, Amar Avyudo Amar Rav, Talish Ochas Boha Ur. If you have a talis that's folded up, let's imagine a talis that's folded up, and one corner of the talis starts to burn. The candle fell over, it starts to burn. So if I'm going to leave it the way it is, the whole talis is all folded up, the whole thing is going to catch fire. So I want to, first of all, be poshto. I want to spread out the whole talis so the fire will not catch so quickly. The whole thing is all folded up, won't catch so quickly. So after I spread out the whole talis, the fire will only be in this one little corner. And then when I wear the talis, first of all, poshto, I spread it out so it won't spread to all of the kipulim. The flame won't spread so quickly to the kipulim of the Shabbos. Then a miskasabo. Then I want to wear the majority of the talis to prevent the flame from spreading further. It's not that I'm going to shake the talus and keep on waving the talus till I put out the flame. That's mamish mechabe. That you're not allowed to do kibui. It's only a melacha tzvicha legufa if you plan to use the pechom. If you don't plan to use the pechom, then it'll be a melacha shem tzvicha legufa. And then there's a machlekes of Shimon and Reb Yehuda whether that constitutes an isa derais and isa derabbanan. But also it is anyway. You're not permitted to do kibui. So that's not his intention. That's what the Tur makes clear in the Mishnah Brura, explains that very clearly. He's permitted Toshta to spread it out so that the flame will not spread so quickly through all the kipulim of the talus. When his kasa bo, and he wears the talus, he thinks that by wearing the talus, I don't know, he's wearing such kind of clothing, that the clothing he wears will not catch flame. And by wearing the talus, this will prevent the fire to spread further on the talus, and the fire will die a natural death. It'll burn a little bit, it'll singe a little bit in that corner, and garnish, and that's all. If I leave the talus the way it is, then it'll become a much bigger flame, because it'll catch on everything, and then the whole talus will burn. So I want to prevent the rest of the talus, which is potential fuel, I want to prevent it from catching flame, so that's permissible. In Kofsa Kofsa, the fire dies a natural death, Gishtorm, lifts the piston, so the fire went out. But I didn't put out the flame. I don't extinguish the flame. I prevent the rest of the talus from catching flame.
Why wouldn't this be in the Pesek, that when you put on the talus, you spread it out, and you crumple it up, and you do the whole thing, and by the time you do the whole thing, they can do it in such a way that it's going to go out, because during the act of putting it on, so you smush it out. Because the other case that it has here is leaving the Sefer Torah, and that is probably not spreading it out, and there it's smushing it also, no?
Well, no, that's also, if it's a psigratia that is going to extinguish the flame, and that's what he's interested in, he wants to put out the flame, then you're not allowed
to.
But it's not the sasek. The sasek means, I'm doing one thing and I don't even realize that another thing is going to occur. But if I see the talus is on fire and I'm going to start putting it on and waving around, throwing it, I understand quite well, I will probably succeed in putting out the flame. So that's mamash adava hamaskavim. That's mamash adava hamaskavim. And even if he's not interested in extinguishing the flame, but it'll be a psigratia, he's not allowed to. So he doesn't want to extinguish the flame by smacking the beged around and waving it in the air and so on. He wants to, first of all, poshta, spread it out so the flame won't catch so quickly on the rest of the folds of the talus. That's how the Mishnah Berurah quotes the pshat. And then a miskasebo, and he wears the talus, he wears the rest of the talus in such a way that by it being worn on his body, that prevents the rest of the talus from catching flame. So only this corner is aflame, and it's going to, if there burns its way out, it'll burn. So it's a goodbye. Okay, kopsa, kopsa. If it goes out, it goes out. I wasn't mechabit. I prevented the rest of the beged from catching flame, and the mele, the flame went out. The chen sefer Torah shochas bohu'ur. So first of all, let's say one yiriyah is on fire. So first of all, poshta, he spreads it out. If he's going to have it all together, so the fire is going to go from one yiriyah to the other, to the other, to the other. It's all rolled up. So the whole thing, so first of all, he spreads it out, so only this one yiriyah is aflame. And then, if he rolls the Sefer Torah, poshto v'korebo, if he rolls the Sefer Torah a little bit in such a way to prevent the rest of the Sefer Torah, the rest of the cloth from catching flame, and then the mele, the flame will be limited to only this one place, and after this one spot burns, so it'll be burnt out, sure. So this part will burn out, and then the fire will go out. You can cover, cover, but you're not permitted to do it in such a way that you're actually doing kibbutz. It goes out because there's no more fuel. The rest of the Sefer Torah, let's say I'll cover with some substance, some material which is non-flammable. And that'll not only not catch flame, it'll prevent the rest of the cloth from catching flame. So good. So I prevented, it's like taking out all the furniture from the room where the fire is. I prevented the potential fuel from catching flame. So that's permissible. So tricky, these are terms are very restricted. Cups of cups and cover cover is a very limited situation where you're not actively engaged in doing the kibui. It's just that he's preventing the rest from catching flame. So the Gemara asks Akasha again. You're permitted to put water in the other side of the talus. I skipped a line. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rab, you're permitted to put water in the other side of the talus, so a sopping wet talus is not going to catch flame. So I prevent that potential fuel from catching flame. So the Gemara asks, and then the Mela, the flame will go out. But that's not what it says in the Braisa. The Braisa, it says slightly less than that. You prevent the potential fuel from catching flame, but not by putting water there. But if you pour water into the other half of the talus, when the fire comes to the water, not only will the water prevent the other half of the talus from catching flame, the water will extinguish the flame. So that's actively, you're doing an act of kibui, doing a gram kibui. The fire is not yet hasn't yet reached the water. When the fire will, not if, certainly for sure, when the fire will reach the water will not only protect its half of the beggar from catching flame, it will extinguish the flame. So the Gemara asks Akasha and Meisrei, but that's not what it says in the Tosefta. That's already a giant step past the Hesed that it says in the Tosefta. The Tosefta just says you can protect the rest from catching flame. The Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav follows the Tana in the Mishnah. Who the Amar Rav Shimon Anan? The Gemara says, but Rav Shimon Anan didn't say it either. He says you're going to put some in non-flammable substance to cover over the other half of the wooden furniture, and then in Mela the flame is going to go out because there's no more fuel. Yeah, but over here, Gram Kibui Miyama, where do you see that the Tanakhama permits you to do Gram Kibui? Mar says, yes, and yes, he does permit Gram Kibui. Mili Tani Seifan, it's Rav Shimon Ben Anas is talking in the ratio the whole time. And he says it's permissible to put buckets of water that are going to certainly crack from the heat. They can't take the heat, and the water's going to come out and it's going to extinguish the flame. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees. So you see, Chal Tanakama, sure. You see, Rabbi Shimon Anas in Tanakama, he allows Gram Kibui, and that's how he passed. This is Gram Kibui, according to the Ramah B'Makom Dleika. I don't want the talus to burn. I don't want to lose the whole talus. So Gram Kibui B'Makom Dleika is mut. That's halacha, like the Tanakama. Fine. Tanu Abana, let's see, Abraith, and Ner Shal Gabi HaTavla. What is a ner? So Rashi gives you the French word, kreuzel. What's a kreuzel? What does it mean? It means a ner which is still burning, or a ner which went out already. So the way the Brice is presented in the Babli, it's clearly still burning. It says, m'kofsa kofsa. The Babli presents this Brice that is still burning. Tosfos quotes that the Yerushalmi has the same Brice, but the Yerushalmi doesn't have that line in kofsa kofsa. Look, Tony Bach, Bryce Kostos. And the Bryce is talking about a Nair Shikova. The Nair went out already. So according to the Yerushalmi, if the Nair went out already, so what's the whole discussion? The answer is that the Nair is a Nigudis Katsoy the Ben Ashmashis says Katsoy the Kulyana. A Nair Hadoy Lake, that's a Mishnah in Kira. The Mishnah says, are you permitted to move a candlestick on Shabbos? Are you permitted to move a candlestick? What do you want to call a candlestick? I have a set of candlesticks. A candlestick, the worst you can consider it is a klisha malach taliyisa. What do you normally use candlesticks for? To put in candles and to light them. The malach is not really done with the candlestick. The candlestick just holds it up in a high location. So that's a question. Later in the Gemara, where is it? In Kolakalim. Where's Kolakalim? Before, after, I forgot already. In Kolakalim, Kalkalim was later. Next day. Oh. So Kalkalim, on the first daf, there's a discussion in the Rishon. So we assume that that's considered a klisha malach taliyisa. Because you normally do a malacha by lighting candles that are sitting on top of the candlestick. It's not like a hammer. You use a hammer or a screwdriver, the malacha is done with the hammer, with the screwdriver. Here the malacha is not done with the candelabra. The malacha is done with a match, with the candle. So the candle is a klisha malach taliyisa. The Magen Avraham says a candle is not muktzah. He says on Shabbos, a candle is not muktzah. A candle is not burning. A candle is not muktzah. A candle is a klisha malach taliyisa. The ishtamshus that as is to light it with a flame, so that's a malach of havara. Havara is not only to strike a match, if you have a fire that's burning already and take a candle and to have it catch flame, that's also havara. To throw paper into the fire is also havara. So the Magen Avraham says that a candle is a klisha malach taliyisa. The malach is usually done with the candle. We assume that the candelabra is also considered a klisha malach taliyis. So klisha malach taliyis, sir, we pass in halacha, you're permitted to be metaltel l'tzorach gufoy or l'tzorach nekoymoy. If you have a klisha malach taliyis, you're permitted to move it even mechama l'tzel. Not only l'tzorach gufoy, l'tzorach nekoymoy, even mechama l'tzel. But if you have a klisha malach taliyis, sir, you're only permitted to move it l'tzorach gufoy, l'tzorach nekoymoy, you're not allowed to move it mechama l'tzel. What if you have mukta mamish? What if you have money? Money is mukta mamish or eitzim avon of the offer. You have a garbage, you have junk, you have broken glass, something that's not a kli and it's not ochlim, it's not mashkim, it's not odom, doesn't belong to those four categories. Avon of the kelim, ochlim, and mashkim. So that's mukta mamish. A mukta mamish, you're not permitted to move even the tzarek guf or the tzarek mukam. The mokum sakonas, the mokum choyla, okay, you have certain kulis. Still some mukta is mukta, but mokum choyla shem sakonas. But the special cases where you're allowed to move mukta, but under normal circumstances, You're not permitted to move mukzi even the tzaras roof of the tzaras roof. Let's say on every Shabbos, if you got to clean off the table, you have money on top of the table. It's not Shabbos day to leave money on top of the table. It's not Shabbos day. So if it would have only been a screwdriver, a hammer on top of the table, which is a klisha malachta le'isir, so the tzaras mekoma, you're allowed to take it. So you take off the hammer and the screwdriver, you put it away somewhere. But if it's money, money is considered mukzi because it's junk. Interesting. Money is considered junk. Has something that has no hishtamshus. That's absolutely. You can take money and buy something with it. That's not called hishtamshus. That's the representative value. Hishtamshus means a screwdriver and a hammer that has hishtamshus. $1,000 bill, that's a piece of junk. So that's like Esam Abanu Yahu, that's considered muktzah. So money you're not allowed to move, even the tzok goof of the tzok mukam. So the Mishnah says, here. Reb Shimon says in the Mishnah, Mem Dalet and Aleph. Kol aner is metaltal and chutz min aner hadoleg b'Shabbos. You're permitted to move a candle on Shabbos, but you're not permitted to move a candle while it's still burning. If the candle went out, you're permitted to move it. The candle's still burning, not allowed to move it. What's wrong? While it's still burning, why not allowed to move it? The Gemara has a whole discussion. They finally come to the conclusion on the top line, on Mem Zayin and Aleph. The last line on Manvel and base top line till they made other suggestions. One suggestion was that why are you going to move the burning candle and they extinguish it? Gemara says, no, Rav Shimon al-Dabhavim's Kabbal Mutta. Rav Shimon is speaking, and the Mishnah that we just read is quoting the Tana Rav Shimon. And he holds that Dabhavim's Kabbal is Mutta. So what's wrong? Why should you be afraid that the candle may go out? He doesn't want to cause it to go out. The old Dovashem is coming as much. Gemara says no. The reason why he says it's forbidden to carry in there after like Shabbos is that's the top line because the flame on top of the candle is muktzah on Shabbos. On Yontif the flame is not muktzah because it has a hishtamshus. So I can light another flame from this flame, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to light a flame from another flame. It's a malacha papa. It's no heteros nefesh. The flame on Shabbos is a Dovashem hishtamshus. I can use the light that's given off by the flame. I can read. I can warm my body and so on. I can use the light and the heat that comes out. But that I'm not using the actual flame itself. So that's considered a davar shein bo hishtamshus. Davar shein bo hishtamshus is considered a davar shel muktzah. That they have a painting on the wall. I have a clock hanging on the wall. It hangs there, Leon, but so I use the clock. I keep on looking at the clock to see what time it is. I have a painting on the wall. I keep on looking at the painting of the picture, and I have anor from it. That's not called the shtamshus. Shtamshus is if you handle the thing. So by us, things that hang on the wall, the yom avoid, until they switch the clock, and then we take it down and we change it an hour ahead. Now behind, then we hang it back up, and then it stays for another 6 months. That's, the Magen Avraham says that that's called mukta, because it's a davar shein bo hishtamshus. The shtamshus is that you look at it, that's not hishtamshus for gufa davar. Shtamshus. Like over here, the flame on Shabbos is a davar shein bo hishtamshus. A flame on Yontif is a davar shein bo hishtamshus. If you want, you can light something else from the flame. So because the flame itself is muktzeh on Shabbos, so the candle and the candelabra and the table, everything below it has the status of a basis, the davar ha'osur. Not only is the flame muktzeh, everything that's holding it up is also muktzeh. Hanach l'ner, shem and upsilom. Leave me alone, he says. Amar Rava, Hanach, leave alone Ne'er. The Ne'er is the container, the cup. The Shemen is the oil and the wick. Everything in the candlestick and the tablecloth and the table, everything is buses to the flame. The flame on top is Muktzeh, not the buses, a Dabar Ha'asr. Yes. So while the flame is burning, that's Reb Shimon and the Mishnah, the way Rava explains it, that everything is a buses, a Dabar Ha'asr. What after the flame goes out, do you still have the status of buses, Dabar Ha'asr? The Dabar Ha'asr disappears. So that's an issue of migadis katzor ben hashmashis is katzor kol yom. Is there such a rule? Is there not such a rule? Is there such a rule that whatever was mukta ben hashmashis is nikvas mukta for the rest of the day, even though the siba tahaktzor went away? The siba why the candle and the candelabra and the table and tablecloth, the siba why it was mukta because there was a flame. Now the flame went out. So the siba tahaktzor went away. So do we say no more mukta? And he's saying no, migadis katzor ben hashmashis. Mara says this is a machlek of Shimon and Reb Yudah. Reb Shimon does not believe in Migadis Katsoi, and Reb Yudah believes in Migadis Katsoi, the Beinash Mashis is Katsoi the Kulyam. And even according to Reb Shimon, who does not believe in Migadis Katsoi, the Beinash Mashis, so the Gemara says over here, the Gemara says on Mem Dalid Amud Aleph, Post Kaira Vashoshes, Lo Yizizam Im Koimam. That's a Gemara quotes of Bryce. It's a few lines into the Gemara. I will Post Kaira Vashoshes, Lo Yizizam Im Koimam. Even Rav Shimon agrees. So the Gemara says, what is that all about? So the Gemara says, Moide Rav Shimon, the Post Kaira Vashoshes. If you have a yahrzeit candle that you project is going to burn for 24 hours, such a container, and you lit it on Erev Shabbos, then in the middle of Shabbos it went out. Surprise, the light went out. So even Reb Shimon would agree that you say Migdus Katzoi. The Ben Ashmash says Katzoi Kol Yom, because we didn't expect it to become, lose its status of buses in the middle of Shabbos. A normal candle, we know the candle burns for 4 or 5 hours, then it goes out. So we knew in advance, but Tchilos HaShabbos, it was Aymed Lakach, that as long as the flame is burning, everything below it will be a buses. And we know, in another 5 hours, by midnight tonight, nothing will be a buses. So Rabbi Yudis says, it doesn't help. Whatever was a buses, Tein HaShmashis remains, Migdus Katzoi remains, Mukta throughout the rest of the day. Rabbi Shimon says, no, since we knew in advance, Tein HaShmashis, that there's going to come a time, in another 4 or 5 hours, that the whole thing below it will no longer be a buses. So he says, you don't have Migdus Katzoi. But if you have Kos Karev HaShashis, I lit the candle on Erev Shabbos that I thought was supposed to burn for 24 hours, and from the perspective of Ben Ashmash, it didn't look like there is going to be any lachazman. It looks like it's going to be a buses the whole Shabbos, even if it blows out in the middle of Shabbos. Then Reb Shimon is masking that in such a case, he would still say Migdus Katzoi. The Tosis interprets, Tosis says, Yerushalmi has this brisa, the Tosis dira maskim in air. So they quote, Yerushalmi has this brisa. And it doesn't have the next line being Tavsa Kavsa. Yishalmi understands that it's talking about a Nersha Kavit. Yishalmi Mukila, Yishalmi Zetzazayim Shat, and this Bryce, but Nersha Kavit went out already. Because they don't have the gear, so let's talk about Bryce and Kavsa Kavsa. So what's the Chiddush? What is it telling me? For us, Lashmina, the Bryce is talking about a case that the Nersha Kavit is still Mukta. How can it be a ner shekaveh? The only reason why it's mukta is buses. Once the ner is covered already, so it's no longer mukta. The answer is either the brayser follows the opinion of Rabbi Yudah. Amza, we pass like Rabbi Yudah. Amigurus katzoi. We make a compromise. There's a fundamental big machlokes that when we learn kiro, we have to figure out what's going on. There's a major machlokes of Yudah Reb Shimon regarding mukta, so we pass like Reb Shimon. There's no din of mukta, but whatever is mukta, so then we pass like Rabbi Yudah that you do say migurus katzoi. So based on Amoraim later in the end of the Masechta, then they make a compromise in the Pesach. They pass in half like Reb Shimon and half like Reb Yudah. So Tosfos here is quoting Yerushalmi. The Brisa is assuming that the Ner Shekaveh still retains its status as Mukta, still buses. Aye. But the flame is not there anymore. So either the Brisa goes like Reb Yudah, or the Reb Yudah does it still from Ner Shekaveh. In Ami after the Reb Shimon, like it says in the Gemara there, in the middle of Kir, Reb Shimon is Moed in that case. So we're talking about a case, in the Yerushalmi Pshat, talking about a case that the Ner is not burning anymore, so there's no issue of Mechabe over here, not involved in the issue of Mechabe, just involved in the issue of Tiltal Mukta. The Ner retains its status as a basis, either Alib Reb Yudah or even Reb Shimon is Moed, okay? Then there is mukta. So what's the din of mukta? So tilta mukta is asur. Tilta mukta is asur only if you handle it via dayim. What if you handle a mukta with your elbow or with your body? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Magen Avraham, who understands that that's mukta. Well, I have to learn. The Chazon Ish has a whole different shot. He argues with the whole world. He takes on the whole world. He thinks that tilta mukta is asur. I don't know how many people have accepted that Chazon Ish. I think most assume, like the Mishnah Brura, who quotes the Magen Avraham, the regular standard assumption. The tilta mukta begufay is muta, but the adayim is also. So the question is, what's called the adayim? So let's say this thing is the mukta. This is the ner shekaveh, which is mukta, and it's on top of the thing. So the thing on the bottom is also. It's basis davar hasa. Just like this is mukta, because he's saying migdus katzoi, it's still mukta. So the thing on the bottom is also mukta. So the answer is, sometimes yes, sometimes no. The din of basis only applies bimeniach. If it's shocheach, so then it's not going to be mukta. So that's what the Gemara says. Lo shana lo b'shocheach. When do I say that the tavla, that this mukta digger thing, the ner shekaveh, is sitting on? When do you say the tavla does not have the status of basis if it's shocheach? They forgot. They forgot the muktzah on Erev Shabbos. They left it there by mistake. Or somebody put it there on purpose, but he's not the balabas. He's not the owner of this thing. So that's what Rabbi Kileger writes in Shulchan Aruch, in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch. We have a klal on the most of Dovah Shein Shaloi. Since you need das adam, it makes a difference whether shecheich or maniach. So the only one who has a right to declare my table as the boss is the davar hatav is me. I'm the bailer. So someone else comes and he's maniach. He puts his dvar muktzah. He puts his money on top of my table. My table doesn't become a boss of davar hatav. He's not a balabas to make it muktzah. So if it's only shocheach, either shocheach or maniach, and he's not the bailim, he has no right to declare to make this into a buses. So the bottom thing is not muktzah. So I'm permitted to handle a bottom thing and to cause the muktzah to roll off like that. That's called menayres atavla, ner shagabi atavla, and the tavla did not become a buses because it's talking about a case of shocheach. If it would have been maniach, not bas davar aser, it's us. So it's only shocheach. So then, this doesn't constitute total muktzah. To be minai like this and have the muktzah go down, that's muktzah. I be a daim is when you go like this, be a daim. But if I handle the non muktzah and I have the muktzah rolled down, that's called total muktzah min atzad. So what's the din of total muktzah min atzad? So there's a contradiction between two gemaras. Here's the tesis on the bottom of Mem Gimel on the base. Total muktzah min atzad. So one gemara says asa, one gemara says muktzah. The tesis has the kashas, the chastira. The Tosfos gives the teretz, all the Rishonim ask this, and 99% of the Rishonim give the same teretz. The Baal HaMor stands alone. He says it's a machlokes asugyos, and you got to take a stand. But we don't follow that Baal HaMor. We follow all the Rishonim say the teretz that the Ri says in Tosfos. The Emiri, he had 10 lines from the top of Mem Dal and Mem Aleph in the Tosfos. The Emiri, the Yesh L'chalik, the Ocha, Iker HaTiltel L'tzorach Meis, L'azam L'chalmel Shos, the Iker HaTiltel L'tzorach Kar, the Chav is L'tzorach HaMosh. He says, this is tilta muktzah min atzad. I'm handling the non-muktzah. I'm getting the muktzah to move by handling the adayim, but not by handling the adayim, the muktzah. I'm handling the adayim, the buses that didn't become a buses, because it's a shacheya. It wasn't a minyan. So if you do tilta muktzah min atzad, then it depends. Is it the tzorach davar or the tzorach davar mutar? So if my interest is in hiding this because someone's going to gamb it, I want to protect this, and I go like that and I cover it over, that's tilta muktzah min atzad, the tzorach davar asa. So then you're not allowed to. But it's tilta muktzah min atzad, the tzorach davar mutar. I want to use the table. I want to get the muktzah out of the way. I want to remove it, get it out of the way. I really want to use the davar mutar that's under it. So that's called tilta muktzah min atzad, the tzorach davar mutar. So that's mutar. So that's how Yerushalmi interprets this braisa. The topic is one of tilta muktzah, because we're talking about a ner shekoveh which still retains the status of buses. How come? Because he's saying migdash katzoi. Whose opinion is that? Either Reb Yudah or Reb Shimon is more than certain cases because karabah shosha. Okay, so we're talking about a ner shekoveh that still retains the status of muktzah, and the tabla under the ner did not become buses of davar hasher, did not become muktzah because of shocheya. So the Bryce is telling me that tilta niur is mutter means that tilta muktzah min atzad, tilta mutter is mutter.
How come the
talus
that we mentioned before is not a
bus? Mistamis shocheya. It happened that it was an accident, Mistamis. He didn't want it to happen. The flame is absolutely muktzah, but he didn't want the talus to become a bus. That's certainly shocheya. An accident occurs. He didn't want it at all to happen. Like the wick, yeah, but he didn't intend that it should become a wick. The Gemara says Hanach lekos karavashosh is Hanach le ner shemen apsila. If he wanted the wick, if he did it on purpose, he put the flame on top of the wick. So then the wick and the oil and the cup, and there is the cup. Everything becomes bushes. But he, over here was an accident that it caught flame. He didn't want it to happen. So that's better than shocheh. Right, that's what Tosis writes in Yevamos on Daf Pei Beis. Tosis has a kasha mean. If I'm cooking fleishik soup and a wise guy comes in and he pours milk into my soup, it doesn't become basim b'chol because they don't most of davar shein shaloi. That's in Yiddish folklore. They used to say that the balabos came to ask the rabbi a shaila. So that shaila he knew. This shaila he knew. One shaila he didn't know. So one shaila he knew. The goy came and he poured milk into the fleishik pot by mistake. So that Tosis dakum is mutter. That he knew. Balbas, the Torah Sakam is Mutter. And the other shaila he knew also. I already forgot what the other shaila was. The shaila, the thing that a real shaila that he didn't know was that they sewed up the pillow with the same needles that they sewed the helmet with in Europe. In America also, they used to take the necks of the chicken and stuff it with flour that was mixed with a ton of schmaltz, and they used to sew it up so the schmaltz with the flour wouldn't fall out. And they used to cook it like that. So that was called helzel. The neck is called the helzel. So the needle is fleshy because they sewed the helzel with it. So what's the din if they sewed the pillow with the same needle that they sewed the helzel? Are you allowed to sleep on the pillow in the 9 days? That's the shaila that he has. That's the shaila that the Baal HaBayis says to the rabbi. But the other shaila that the guy poured in the milk, that's Tos Akam is Mutter. Then he knows the Mutter. And the other shaila, all the other shaila he knew. He only had to come to the rabbi on the serious shaila. So Tosfos says that for sure it's also. If the goy pours, if someone by accident pours in treifas, if it happened by itself, tam kike, treifas, treifas, it makes a treif. It doesn't matter that it doesn't belong to him. Ain't on the most of the Shalai doesn't apply. It only applies when you need das habayim. When you need das, then the only das that counts is das habayim. So that's where Rabbi Kivega quotes from earlier poskim, that since in the area of basas davarasa, the halacha distinguishes between meniach and shocheach, they see clearly that the das ha-gavre plays a role. So the only gavre whose das plays a role is the das ha-bailam. If it's someone other than the bailam, then ain't an amos adobish anishalot. Unless I invite you to my home and I leave a whole room that you can use whatever you want, you put your wallet on top of the table, so I gave you the right to use the room. So you made it. So it's with the authorization of the bailam. You're the bailam. It's like I gave you permission to use whatever you want. So then it's amos adobish anishalot. Okay. But if you're going to take your wallet and put it on my table, I give you the right to use everything in your room, your bedroom that I give you. Then you take your money and you leave it on the table where I want to eat the Shabbos meal. So I never gave you permission to put your muktzadik things on the dining room table. So that's called shachet. That's not called menyeh. That's what the Yerushalmi reads over here. That's how Yerushalmi reads. The Bavli reads that we're talking about an air which is still burning. That's why it says in Kofsa, Kofsa. So the Babli is also, everything of the Yerushalmi is true, that the tablet didn't become a basis, and that's why there's no problem handling the tablet because of Shochech, everything is true. But the Babli has an added chiddush thrown into this braisa. In Kofsa, Kofsa, it's talking that the Ner is still dolek, and it's not 100% vado, it's that the Ner is going to get extinguished, and that's not what his interest is. If his interest is, he hopes and he prays that it goes out, then it's a davar hamiskaveg. Then he's not allowed to tilt it over in such a way that it may go out if that's what he wants. It means he doesn't care one way or the other whether the nair goes out. So that's a davar shein miskaveg. It's not 100% but it's going to go out. So davar shein miskaveg is mutter. So chiddush al gabi chiddush. But the basic pshat and the price is the way it says in the Yerushalmi. Taisa says that sometimes it will be mamish a psikreishe if it's talking about a nair that's loikover. Sometimes it will be a psikreishe. Why? Because the Gemara says in Beit, so the Gemara has a price in Beit. Hamistapik manashem shem nair chayim shem mechaber. If you have a cup that has oil and a wick and it's burning, and you take a spoon and you take out some of the oil, so even though the nair is still burning, it didn't even go out. The Gemara says you're ready chayim shem mechaber. Hamistapik manashem shem nair. If you take a spoonful out of the oil, it's already a violation of mechaber. Whatever the explanation is there. That's what we're going to have to see there. There's a Tosfos saying, I thought based on it all. So the Tosfos says, if the case over here is talking that I have a tabla and I have a cup of oil that's burning, and I'm going to knock it off like this, going to fall to the floor, of course some of the oil is going to splash out. How can you prevent it from splashing? So it's not going to be a psikiration of a mistapik ben Hashem ben there. So however you understand that din, the din is a din. I'm a stopping man Hashem Hashem, and there constitutes mechaber. So it cannot be that it's such an air that you have liquid oil and a wick and it's burning. If it's burning, it's a psikreshi of mistopic man Hashem Hashem, and there. It must be a different kind of an air that's burning. A candle, a yahrzeit candle or something. And there's a possibility of knocking it, and it's on the floor. Let's say the tablet is on the floor. And I'm shaking it off in such a way. And I'm shaking it off like this. It's going to be bouncing, turning over and over. Not like that. I'm shaking it off in such a way, I did it wrong. I'm shaking it off in such a way that it should not fall over. Also, it didn't work. Okay. So, if it's possible to do it in such a way that it's not going to turn off topsy turvy, so it may or may not go out. I'm not interested in having it go out, and it's not a situation that it's going to go out. So, then it's a double shame and miscut. Okay.
Why is that a grommash?
This is better than grommet. Dov shenem is kaven is mutter.
You know, when I switch over the oil and it comes to the dab, that's just grommet. Why is that being
that's possible? That place is kash in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza quotes a braisa. I have a cup of oil with a wick and it's burning, and I take a spoon and I take out part of the oil. So Tosfos asks, why does it say chay mishum mechabe? Why is that mechabe? Right now, he didn't cause any kibuy at all. The answer is, every spoonful of oil accomplishes that the candle should burn another 20 minutes. So if I take out a spoonful of oil, I'm causing that it's going to be extinguished 20 minutes earlier. So that should be grama. Tosfos says, why isn't that grama? And then Tosfos says, should be better than grama, should be less than grama. It's not even kibuy. I'm just taking away the potential fuel. So just because it's going to go out a little earlier, so he says, what if you have a candle and you cut off the bottom half of the candle? So they think that it's hetagoma. They don't think on Shabbos it's a different story. It's a buses. It's a different story. But on Yom Tov, when there's no problem of tiltal buses, it's not a bus davar aser. So Tosfos thinks that if I cut off the bottom half of the candle and it doesn't affect the flame now at all, they think that it's hetagoma. It's less than goma. It's mutter hetagoma. So why is it aser here? So Tosfos says it must be that when you take a spoonful of oil out of the container, you already are diminishing the brightness of the flame right now. So that's why they consider it mechaber. But if it wouldn't affect the flame at all now, I have a candle, and the candle burns because of what's on top, and I cut off the bottom part, and that causes it to go out 3 hours earlier, that's not even gram kibbutz. I just removed the potential fuel. That's like taking out all the furniture from the room. The fire goes out later on. It goes out. Dies a natural death. That's not even gram kibbutz. It's just removing potential fuel.
Machpel from here that if it was just a klish machpel, is there on top, so then there wouldn't be a buses? Because we're dafka talking about a ner shakava in the Yerushalmi. If it was just a stam there, so you wouldn't have a buses by a klish machpel, so that's on top?
That's a question. Is there a din of buses by a. We know there's a din of buses to mukta, buses davar asa. There's a din of buses to mukta. Because the flame on Shabbos is mukta nigmas hanakla ner shem and apsila, not the bus davar asa. Is there a din of buses to a klisha malachta liyata? Let's say I take my pens and my pencils and I put them in a certain drawer. And I want them to be there. And it's my house and it's my furniture. And I want to leave it there. So does that accomplish, is that if I leave money in a certain drawer, that's all I leave there. It's not a bus davar asa davar mukta. You only leave money there. So that drawer possibly becomes, we'll have to see the next phase. That drawer can become a basis for davar ha'aser. What if I leave pens and pencils? They say that also becomes a basis for davar ha'aser. I mean, to the extent of a klisha malach talis, it can't be more common than the pen and the pencil itself. Pen and the pencil is not mukta, just klisha malach talis. So that's a sophic that Prima Godim raises. Is there a din of basis to a klisha malach talis? So later on, the Tosfos read on the Gemara, where he writes the favorite that he thinks that it's awesome. I think that's the generally assumed opinion, that there is a din of buses, not only for a dvar mukta, that there is a din of buses for a klisha malach talisa as well, even though they're so totally different. Mukta is one din and klisha malach talisa is a different din, but I think it's assumed like that, that there is a din of buses both by mukta and by klisha malach talisa.
So this din would be true even by a stam there, even not a ner shakala.
Even not an Ershe cover, but then the bottom will have the status of it won't be more chomer than a klish malach talisa. Can't be that the buses should have a din of mukta, even though it's only a buses to a klish malach talisa. So basically, the Babli's understanding of Yerushalmi is the same as the Yerushalmi, just has on an added knesh. In Kofsa, it's talking about a nair that didn't go out yet, and it's a dom shenim skabin is mukta because it's not a psikration, and it's not interested one way or the other. It's not interested that it should go out. That we know. Tana. Okay, we have a brisa. Ner shachuri hadelas. Posech v'nol kedarkoi. Din kopsa kopsa. What does it mean? Ner shachuri hadelas. What does that mean? It means the ner is attached to the back of the door. What does it mean? The ner is behind the door. And they open up the door, so the wind is going to blow in. The Tosfos is not sure, but Tosfos thinks that the correct shot is the ner is sitting on the back of the door. Ner shachuri adelas. So the Brisa says, "Posech v'noel kidarko." You're permitted to open and close your door. The Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. Why don't I say that the door should become a basis l'davar ha'asur? The second half of the Tosfos, Pesef and Oil. The Yilav Mishum Kibbe Vahavara, if not for the issue of Mechaba Mavir, when you open the door, it may fan the flame of the Nair, and it may get to burn more, brighter. That's Mavir. Or the wind may blow it out, it may be extinguished, it may be diminished. That's Mechaba. The Tosfos says the whole issue of the Brisa is Mechaba Mavir. Why not pose an issue of Basis Davar Ha'asur? If the Nair is on the door, like here in the dormitory, they have pencils on the door. So the pencil is not Muktas or Klisha Malach Taliyasa. It's a Klisha Malach Taliyasa. But we're Machmer, that's Sufik, and the people go to we're Machmer, that there is a Din of buses even to a Klisha Malach Taliyasa. So should you say that the door becomes a buses, and you're only allowed to move it, because the door became a buses, or over here, that you have a Nair that's burning, a Nair that's burning, so the flame is Muktas Mamish. So you shouldn't be allowed to move the door even the tzelchuf of the tzelch mekaymai. The Tosfos raises the issue. V'ilav mishum mechabo mavir. If not for that issue, mishum tiltal mukta ein lesser. Why don't you say the door becomes a bus? No, that's not a problem. So they say the menilas adelus lachashiv tiltal. Why is menilas adelus lachashiv tiltal? So some misinterpreted Tosfos as meaning that tiltal mukta is only us if you go like this. I pick up the thing from here and I put it over here. But if this is Mukta and I go like this, it's still in the same place. I swirl the door back and forth, it's still unhinged, it's still attached. So it's not, I'm not moving it away from its original location. It's in the same location, I'm just moving it. So some misunderstood the Tosfos and they interpreted that that's what Tosfos means. So the tiltal haner lachashiv, what are they saying? The benilas adelus lachashiv tiltal, because you're not really removing it from its location. So this is incorrect. How do you know? Because the Mishnah in the end of the Masechta says that if you have a dead body, a human dead body, we said there are four things that are not mukta. Other v'kelim ochlam amashkin. It's based on the laws. The Gemara says the first dafim kol ha and kol akelim. That all of the laws of mukta were parallel. Kol the tishma rabban kein the rashi speaking. They were established based on the laws of kabbalah tumah. So kabbalah tumah, the four things are mekabbalah tumah, and everything else is drunk. It's not mekabbalah tumah. So the halacha is that a person is mekabel tumah while he's alive. A dead person is not mekabel tumah. Happens a dead person is alive. Yeah, voice tumah. But a dead person is not a person. He's not a human being. He's not mekabel tumah. So the Mishnah says that if you have a dead body on Shabbos, ein matzimim ein of shalmeis. The minig is that the cherek adisha closes the eyes of the dead body, so you bury everybody with their eyes closed. So if someone died on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move the body. Not only not allowed to move the body from here to here, not allowed to move it from one place to the other. Minig is that you take the body off of the bed and you put him on the floor. We don't put him on the floor on Shabbos. The dead body, not on Shabbos, not on Yom. The mukta is mukta. You're not allowed to move him on the floor. So the shayla is, but we're not going to move the body. We're just going to close his eyes. The whole body remains in the same place, just to close the eyes. So the Mishnah says the favor that that is not permissible. Where is that Mishnah? It used to be a Mishnah. Ein matzimim meinam shamei. Somewhere towards the end of the Mishnah. Kuf Nun Aleph on the back. Okay. We missed long enough we would have found it. Okay, sure. The 23rd Terek. The Terek away from the end. It's the last Mishnah in the 23rd Terek. Not the last Mishnah in the Masechta. The last Mishnah in the 23rd Terek. Ein matzim menem shalmei b'Shabbos. And the weekdays you're not allowed to do it when he's a gosek. Because you may hasten his death. That's a different story. Lo b'chol imitzias ha'nefesh. If he's still alive, you're not allowed to do it. You've got to wait 15 minutes after the guy stops breathing, and then we declare that he's dead. But before you wait a little bit, then we have to be concerned maybe he's still alive. Matmin tzias ha'nefesh 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 ha'nefesh. That's on the weekdays. That's mishum ritzicha. But on Shabbos, it says that it's forbidden because it's mukta. So the Ran on the Rit points out that even though you're not moving the dead body, you're just moving, closing the eyelids, that's all. It's still a violation of tiltal mukta. There are two, the Ran is masking, there are two levels of tiltal mukta. There's one kind of tiltal mukta, I move the thing from here to here. Then there's another tiltal mukta, ein matzimim meinam shalmeis. It's a lower level of severity. More severe is tiltal mukta mimakom lamakom. And this is less severe. Where do you find that? Because the Mishnayos speak about Mishnayos speak about moving pets, I think, moving behemoths. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Tanoi made it there, that all Balei Chaim have the status of Muktzeh. So you're not allowed to pick up a Bal Chai and move it from one place to the other. What if the Bal Chai needs a little attention and the dog is crying and he wants you to pat him? So are you allowed to pat him on the head because he's crying? So the, I think it's said tomorrow that you're permitted to, because that's not Tiltul Gomor. To pick up the dog and to hold it or to put him in another place, that's Tiltul Gomor of Muktzeh. So that's not allowed. But if it's only Tiltul the Mixers, then you are Mekel. And let's say to milk the cow. So how you permit it to Mishum Tzab Alechayim, so we allow you to milk the cow, to milk is Halach Libud. Even though there's some kind of a mloch or another involved in milking a cow, but if the Cholav is Halach Libud, is Mutter. Alright, that resolves the problem of the Malacha that's involved in milking cow. What about Tiltul Mukta? So the Rishayim say, it's Tzab Alechayim. So Tiltul Mukta, the Mixers, will make a lot. This is only, the animal stays on its four legs. The cow is standing still on the four legs. You're not picking up the cow, moving to another location. You're just pulling the udders a little bit. Parallel to Eim Atzim and Meinim Shalmei. So that normally is prohibited, unless there's Tzab Balei Chaim, Mishtikol Tzab Balei Chaim, then you make a lana. So it's correct that it's not the same level of severity of Tiltul Gomer of Muktzeh, or the Gemara has a case. Where's that case? Perek Noitel, I think. Where's Perek Noitel? Another parak here, Noitel, it's the 21st parak. How does it say? Noitel on the Mizmanova, Evan Biyadoi. So the Gemara says, my little child is crying, and he needs attention. So if I have to pick him up, then he should stop crying. But the kid is holding Muktzeh in his hand. So indirectly, I'm handling Muktzeh. By holding the kid, I'm handling Muktzeh. You say the baby becomes a bus of Davaras? No. Some don't say it becomes a bus of Davaras. But indirectly, I'm handling Muktzeh. So the Gemara says, we allow you to do it because the baby is crying. So Tashtikol Chayla. And since it's not Tiltul Gomor, so therefore we allow it. But to do Tiltul Gomor Shal Muktzeh, we wouldn't allow. So the Mishanim do distinguish the two levels of Tiltul Muktzeh. So back again here on Kuf Chaf on the base, what does Tyson say? There's no problem in moving the door. The Menilas Adelas, Lechoshev Tiltul. What does it mean, Lechoshev Tiltul? You can't say that they mean it's not Tiltul because it's attached to the hinges and you're not really moving it to a different location. It's still Tiltul Muktzeh. They mean a different thing. If you look in the Mordechai, the Rishonim spell it out explicitly. Taisus is considering the door is not Muktzeh. The candle, the flame is Muktzeh. So Taisus says it's Tiltul Muktzeh and outside, the Tzarech Davar HaMutter. You're moving the door, and thereby the door is a Davar HaMutter, and thereby you're moving the Muktzeh, which is the candle, the flame. That's the next line. The Gam Lahabi Basu Davar HaMutter, that's the next Kasha. No, but if you put the candle on the back of the door, let the whole door become a basis. That's the next question. But the first question was assuming the door does not become a basis for some reason or another, just the flame is Muktzeh. So that's Tiltul Muktzeh and Atzad. I'm moving Muktzeh with my hand, but without actually handling the Muktzeh. I'm handling the knob of the door, and then indirectly I'm moving the Muktzeh. So that's what they say. Tiltul Muktzeh and Atzad. Because it's Tiltul Muktzeh and Atzad, it's Tiltul Muktzeh. But then they ask Kasha, why don't you say that the candle should cause that the whole door should become a buses? And if I'm handling the door with my hands, I'm holding onto the doorknob, that's Tiltul Muktzeh biyadayim. And even though it's on the hinges, it's still a problem. Still a problem. The Gamla Havi buses, Dabar HaAsur, why not? So Taisa gives two answers. So the second answer is, we're talking b'shocheach, the Lo Havi buses. But if it would have been Miniach and Achanami, that the door would become buses, Dabar HaAsur, then you wouldn't be allowed to open the door. Let's say a lot of people leave muktzadik things in the freezer door. So if they want to open the freezer door on Shabbos, let's say raw meat. Raw meat is royal achilas behema. But we don't plan to feed this lot kosher, expensive, super expensive meat to the dog. I'll give the dog a bone. I'm not going to give him the raw meat. Lot kosher meat is very expensive. So if you have Michael Behema, that's not Muktzeh. If you have Michael Odom, that's expensive, and you would never in a million years feed it to the dogs unless it gets spoiled, so then the Gemara says that it is Muktzeh. That it would be Muktzeh. So if you have on Yom Tov, you're permitted to cook the raw meat, so it's not Muktzeh. You can cook it on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, raw meat is considered Muktzeh, because you're not going to feed it to the dogs. It's not Roy Lachilos Odom the way it is, and you can't cook it. It's a thing that has no ishtamshus. So if you have, let's say, raw meat in the freezer door, you want to open the freezer on Shabbos in order to get the ice cream out. So this is very negir l'alacha. Most people have the shan. They have muktadigga things in the door. So if you have 50 things in the door, and 49 things are non-mukta, and one is mukta, so it doesn't make up a bus. What if the whole freezer door is, all of it, the robe of it is muktadigga things? You can't say bas davar aser davar muta. The davar aser is more. The rov is davar aser. The miut is davar muta. So the second opinion in Tesis is that you got a problem on your dinami b'shecheach. The law have buses, but if it's meiniach, then the door will become buses. And Shulchan Aruch then makel with the first opinion. So what's the first opinion? The gam lahavi buses davar aser. The bayis chashev hu ubatel agav habayis. What they say? But they came up with a new Ein Kala V'Chiddush. The only time you say buses, the Dover Ha'aser is when I light the flame on the candle. So the candle used to be a Kalisha Malach Tali Yisr on Shabbos. A Yom Tov, the candle has a Shamshas, I can light it. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to light the candle. The flame has, the light of the flame has a Shamshas, but the candle itself has no Shamshas. Shamshas seems to handle the thing with your hand. So on Shabbos, you can't handle the candle. What are you going to do? You're gonna light it. You can't light it. So the candle on Shabbos is the klisha malach taliyisa. So you're going to put that on the door. Now that it has a flame on it, so it's a bus, it's fine. You're going to put that on the door. But now you're going to say that the door becomes a bus. It's a bus. And so Tyson says, no, but the door is part of the whole house. Since the door is only one part of the whole house, what are you going to say? That the candle doesn't make the whole house into a busted door. Whole house can't move. Whole house is attached to the ground. It doesn't move. Only the door moves. So the shaila is, can you declare that the door becomes a busted? But the door is part of a larger building. Part of the whole structure of the house. So that's what Taisa says in the first suggestion. It's a big kiddush. And the Shulchan Aruch adopts it. Lahabi bas davar asa, the bayis chashev hu, the bayis is, the door is part of a larger construction, part of the whole house. Ubatal agav habayis, and the door is batal agav the rest of the bayis, and you can't declare that the door should become a bus, because it's part of a larger thing which certainly didn't become a bus. That's the shaila. What if you have, let's say, pockets in a jacket? So let's say I have a Shabbatika suit. I never wear it on the. I rarely wear it on the weekdays. I have a wedding, so I put it on the weekdays. Usually, I don't wear it on the weekdays. Usually, I only wear it on Shabbos. I never put anything in the pocket. So let's say, on one occasion, he has some money in a pocket. If it's shocheach, it doesn't become a bus. Let's say it's meniach. On Erev Shabbos, he's hiding. He's going to wear the other suits on Shabbos. He comes into the hotel and he takes money, he leaves it in the pocket. He thinks that no one's ever going to think of looking in the pocket to see if no one's going to gamble the money in the pocket. So he hides the money in the pocket minia. So then do you say that the pocket becomes a busis ledavah ha'aser? So let's say he'll decide to wear that jacket on Shabbos. Then he's going to walk around with the jacket the whole time on Shabbos. He's going to be walking around with the muktzah. So that's not right. So if he wants to wear the jacket, he should take it and shake out all the money. He should shake out all the money from the pocket. So the shaila is, but maybe the whole jacket became. Can you say the whole jacket became a bus of davar ha'aser? The whole jacket becomes a bus of davar ha'aser because he left money in the pocket. No, shaila is only on the pocket, not on the jacket. So Tyson says even the pocket doesn't become a bus of davar ha'aser because the pocket is part of the whole jacket, and the rest of the jacket for sure didn't become a bus of davar ha'aser. So even the pocket doesn't become a bus of davar ha'aser either. If one thing is part of a larger configuration and the whole thing doesn't become a bus, but the smaller thing also not. The door is part of the building and the pocket is part of the jacket. So you say a chiddush, it doesn't become a bus. Gam lahavi bas davar ha'aser, the bayis chashev hu, ubatal agav habayis.
You have a freezer and everything built into your kitchen, part of the structure, then you could open up
according to the Tosfos, even though it was meniach, I left the raw meat on purpose into the door. It wasn't shakeya. That's the way I packed the freezer. and I left the raw meat in the door of the freezer. The door of the freezer is part of the larger thing of the freezer. The rest of the freezer doesn't become a process of davaros, or so the door doesn't become a process either. Okay, that's what Tesis means. Sometimes the whole freezer will become a buzzer. The whole thing is full of raw meat. If raw meat, the stuff that you have in the freezer, is raw meat, booked to bigger meat, then you have a meal of ice cream, cake. But the raw meat, most of the stuff is mukhtar. So then not only does it, then everything becomes a buzzer. The freezer with the door, everything. But if you look around in the freezer, and raw meat, the freezer is not mukhtar to bigger meat. Just in the door over it is muktzadika things. So the shayla is when you declare the door as a basis or not. So this would depend on the two opinions and types. And the Shulchan Aruch has adopted the leaning of the opinion, the first opinion.
Mishnah Berurah says by the pocket that it's better if the pocket is a free floating pocket as opposed to one that's actually something with the lining.
Then Mishnah Berurah calls the two kinds of pockets. That what if it's this kind of a pocket?
It's just that worse.
Right, the half of the one half of the pocket is the shirt itself. If you have these kind of pockets in over here, so the pocket has a whole separate entity. So you say the pocket is tougher to the whole jacket. Since the jacket doesn't become a buses, the pocket doesn't become a buses either. So if I'll shake out, even though it's many, if it was shocheach, the guy wasn't thinking, left money in his pocket, hangs it up. So then for sure, shocheach. The jacket doesn't become, he didn't mean anything. It was late for Shabbos. He took out the jacket and hung it up. He wasn't thinking one way or the other. So that's called shacheach. So then for sure it doesn't become mukta. But even if meiniach, even if he leaves it in the pocket on purpose, also you'll say the pocket doesn't become mukta. So what should you do? But then when you're going to handle the jacket all day long, you're going to take it off and put it on, take it off, put it on. So lamaisa, you're handling the mukta. It's tilta mukta minatzad. You're handling the mukta. So if it's tilta mukta manatan, sahtara mutta is mutta. But if you can avoid the whole thing, it's certainly better to avoid the whole thing. So you should shake out the whole jacket and let the money fall down to the floor, then move on. But how can you shake out the whole jacket? The whole jacket should become buses. But at the end, the jacket doesn't become buses. Even the jacket for sure doesn't become buses. Even the pocket doesn't become buses. So then he says, Banedvar Mamurin, if the pocket is a separate pocket that has both sides, like this kind of a pocket has both sides. But the pocket over here, so you have a piece of cloth added on the outside, and the bottom of the pocket is the shirt itself. So if you left it on purpose, you left a dollar bill in the pocket, so the shirt is part of the buses. So you were maniac. You left the dollar bill in the pocket. So half of the pocket is the shirt, so the shirt became a buses is over on. Then it would be moved. But if it's a pocket that has totally separate from the suit, the pocket is a separate thing that has two sides that are separate. So then Tosis Kula will apply. Yeah, the freezer doors are sometimes a problem. Sometimes the rover the things in the freezer are mukta. Sometimes the rover the stuff is raw meat that we would not feed to the dogs because it's Roy Lachila Sodom. And it's not Roy Lachila on Shabbos. The way it is, not Roy Lachila. And you're not allowed to cook it. And Yontif, you can cook it. The raw meat is not mukta. But on Shabbos, it would be mukta.
Why does it depend on what the
rule
is?
Bas davar, it depends which is more important. It depends which is the majority. You have dvar mahamatarim and dvar mahasurim. So if the rove is, unless the davar ha'asur is more valuable than the davar ha'mutta, so then even if the davar ha'mutta is in the majority, let's say the davar ha'mutta is a cake, home-baked cake. So it's not so expensive. The davar ha'asur is a meat. Meat is very expensive. Glatkosh meat is very expensive. So then maybe even if the meat is the miut, it could be that it's the more chashuva of the two. So maybe then it would become a basis davar asur. Even if it's mukta mamish, raw meat is considered mukta mamish. Not just Kalisha Malaptis and books and mamas, you're not allowed to move even the Tzalkuf of the Tzalkuf Mekomo. Not allowed to move it. Opening the door is called Tzalkuf Mekomo. I want to open the door to get it out of the way in order to. So if the door would become a buses to the raw meat, which is Mukta Mamas, so the door would have the status of Mukta. So that's Tzalkuf Mukta the Yodayan. So, okay, so you can still move it with your elbow. Okay. If you, If the door became, if somehow or another the door became a buses, you can move it with your elbow. Then you got to be careful when you want to take out the ice cream or the cake from the freezer. You got to make sure that you don't start handling all the raw meat. A lot of the stuff there, raw potatoes, let's say. Magen Avraham quotes the Rashba, later on Masechta Shabbos, that raw potatoes on Yom Tov you can cook, so it's not mukta. But raw potatoes on Shabbos, you're not going to feed the raw potatoes to the animals. It's too expensive. You're going to give them dog food. You're going to wait till chol and cook the raw potatoes. The raw potatoes in the refrigerator, let's say. A lot of times people put the raw potatoes in the refrigerator in the summertime so they shouldn't sprout. Years ago in Europe, they used to put the raw potatoes in the ground. They used to bury it in the ground so they shouldn't sprout. But today, people in the refrigerator, people put in the refrigerator, said, that's mukta mamish. So you're not allowed to move it even litzok, gufa litzok, mitzvah. If I put another, I take a pot of the soup, leftover soup, a chicken, I put it in, and the raw potatoes are there, and by pushing in the soup, my male, I'm pushing in the raw potatoes. So that's tilta mukta malatzat. The sarach dover amutta. That's okay. But if I'm going to take out the raw potatoes, I'm going to take it and handle it and move it to the side, so that's a very tilta mukta. So that you're not allowed to do.
If the freezer is full of, let's say, frozen food, but the door itself, does one please put the door separate? Or?
I mean, the whole freezer is full of mukta dika things.
And on the door is, let's say, the ice cream. So, can you open just the, is that, can we look at that? Or when the whole thing is one unit?
I would think that the whole thing becomes mukta. I would think the whole thing becomes butter, including the door. I don't know. Gotta look in Shulchan Aruch, see if they have any details about that case. But if the whole freezer has mukta, the roof of the freezer has mukta, and the door has only all the goodies, all the ice cream.
So opening the door considered filled from mukta and outside because the freezer itself is staying, it's not moving. The door is not an entity unto itself, it's part of the freezer. So that's right. That basically is filled from mukta and outside, opening the door. That's what Tyson said.
No, Tyson says if the only mukta is the flame, is the flame, let's say shocheach, so the door itself didn't become buses. So just the flame, so handling the door is mutter, and you're indirectly moving the flame by moving the door, that's called tilt the mukta when outside the south
of our
mutter
is mutter. Open the door of a freezer, even if there's mukta on the door, it's only tilt the mukta when outside. I'm doing it to get ice cream on the inside, so it's
mukta. No, but the shaila was, what if the robe of the food in the freezer is mukta? The robe of the food in the freezer is raw meat. So the whole freezer becomes a bus. Oh, so that's the shaila. When the freezer became a bus, does the door also go along to become a bus? It said lahakel that the door doesn't become a bus because the freezer is not a bus. What about when the freezer is a bus? And the door has only non-mukta digger things on it. Would you say the door becomes buses? Because the whole freezer became a buses. So you say no? The freezer contains the food. The door doesn't contain the food. I don't know. I would assume that, yeah. I would assume that the whole freezer became a buses and includes the door also.
Is the freezer more tired than the refrigerator? Because the refrigerator is the role of the refrigerator. And then it doesn't matter if the freezer is cool or frozen meat.
I don't know. We got to do some research on this. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have freezers with doors. They had tables with drawers. So they discussed us a little bit. We have to figure out to be Madame Milson and Milson to figure out the details. So Tesis learns Pshat in the second Tana, in the second Braisa. First one is Tana Rabban, the second one is Tana. Ner Shachuri Adela, so Tesis learns Pshat, and Ner is sitting on the back of the door. And that's why they raised the whole issue, why shouldn't the door become a busted? Okay, so they gave two explanations why. So what does the Braisa say? It doesn't become a busted for some reason. Ner Shachuri Adela, but Seth and Noel Kidark, there's no problem of Mukhsev. Him Kops is not even a problem of Kibui. Not even a problem of Kibui. Why not? The Tosha says, Posef and Oki Darkoi, Ahopishai, they came, Miss Nadin Hader, Miss Rachik Hashem, and Menal Shalheves, O Miss Kareis. When the Shemin is Miss Rachik, Menal Shalheves, that's Mechabe, the Mikzah. The flame will dim a little bit. And when the Shemin is Miss Karevet, Ala Shalheves, then it'll be Mavir, it'll burn a little brighter. Havi Mechabe, Mavir. So that's the halacha, that's a dovah she'ein miskaven, and it's muta. That's not about dois, that it's going to happen. So it's assumed that's a dovah she'ein miskaven and muta. Avaleng the farish, but you shouldn't say pshat ner shachuri hadelas. Then it means a ner is on the table, achuri hadelas, and by opening the door, the wind is going to blow in. By closing the door, you're going to stop the wind. That's not the pshat. So it says, no, ner shachuri hadelas means it's on the back of the door itself. And kopsa kopsa, if it happens to go out, it'll be a dovah she'ein miskaven. So the Gemara says, layit alo rav. Rav used to be a very makpid, he used to curse. Light means to curse. Rav used to curse those, means he used to get angry at those who would rely on this heter. So the shaila is, what's wrong with the heter? What is he getting so carried away? He's going to put everybody in chema, doesn't think his way. Somebody has some, my time in the light, alo rav. Why do you get so angry? What are you cursing and screaming? So does he have the right to get so angry? To curse, Mishum the Rav Sovla Krabiu to call Tanak Rav Shimon male light. He's going to curse someone that follows Rav Shimon. The rabbis in the Talmud were tolerant of each other. The Silma and Beshama, Elu Mila Divin Kimchai, they would be respectful of each other. What is he getting so angry about? That's not the essence to speak on this topic. And to say, as I mentioned, that Rav Kook has a beautiful essay where he points out the rabbis of the Talmud have an expression when they describe the Tanoim is arguing with each other in halacha, they call them balei treisin. Mazet tris, a tris is a shield. When you have a sword fight with someone else, they hold the shield to protect yourself. So he points out, why do they call them balei treisin? When you fight with the other guys, you have the sword to win. The tris is just to protect yourself. But the sword is in order to win the fight, to win the duel. So why don't they, like a rifle, hand grenade, a tank, so they should have called them the balei rifles. So he says, no, the rabbis, when they had a fight in halacha, they weren't interested in shooting the opponents. They were just interested in defending their opinion. Hey, you're entitled to your opinion. I want you to know I'm entitled to my opinion also. So that was their interest. He says, if you're fighting apikursis, then you don't just use a tryst. Then you don't just show that the Orthodox are entitled. We're also entitled to our opinion. Then you have to have an attack. Then you have to shoot with a rifle. But he says, if it's a machlokes, and it's a p'china ve'elu ye'elu, the other one is also a talmid chacham, so then the weapon that you use is a tryst just to defend your position, to emphasize that I'm entitled to my opinion also. So that's what the Gemara asks. Why did Rav get so upset? Light Allah, Rav was so excited on what to get so excited about. He knew there's a machlokes of Yerub Shemin. He knew that half of the Amoraim passed like Rav Yehuda, half of them passed like Rav Shimon. Happens that we passed like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's kavan is mutter. Even if Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, Dov Shem's Kavanah is also, why does he get so angry at the others for? Elaim Shem the Rav Sol like Rav Yehuda, Vatan Tana like Rav Shem, Shem the Rav Sol like Rav Yehuda, Kol Tana Rav Shem, Mei Lai Talei. And for the Gemara name, this is a psik reisha. Amalei Bo Afid Rav Shem Mare Der Koz, Mare Der Abai Rav and Nazar Rav, Mare Shem Psim Psik Reisha Vilayom. So he holds that it's wrong. He holds that Bryce is incorrect. So this case will be a psik reisha. Okay, it all depends. If it's a psikresha that, like Tosis says, if it's an oil container, so of course by opening the door you're going to be shaking the oil around. Of course it's going to be miscarvate, so it's going to be mistrachik from there. It's because it's going to be a vaday psikresha. But if it's not an oil, if it's a candle, a wax candle, so then it's not, it wouldn't really be a psikresha of mechaba mavet. So then Rab wouldn't get so angry. Then it'll be the old child of Dov Shein Miskaven Osramu. Amar Rav Yehuda, the next memory is different. Amar Rav Yehuda, the Amora says, Pesach Adam Delas Kineged Hamedura B'Shabos. Not that the candle is on the back of the door. No. There's a Medura over there in the house, and by opening the door, the wind is going to blow on the Medura. Wind is going to blow either to fan up the flame to make it a bigger flame, or to blow on the flame to diminish it, to dim it, so it's going to be Mechaba or Maver. So it says in the Brice it's permissible. Pesach Adam Delas Kineged Hamedura, it's permissible. Light Allah Abai. So now Abai is taking over Rav's practice. He's cursing anyone who's going to do that. Very good. But my asking, what's the case? What's the case that the Brice says Mutam and Abai is very upset that he holds that you shouldn't do that? Ilema Baruch Mitzuyam. If it's a normal wind that's blowing outside, so it's not going to affect the fire inside. It's not going to dim it, it's not going to blow it out to make it so dim, and it's not going to fan off the flame to make it brighter. Ilayim Rosh Mitzuyah, my time in Mandiyasa, what's going to go wrong already? There's no Mechaber, there's no Mabit. Ibn Rosh Hashanah Mitzuyah, if outside there's a big wind blowing, so then yes, by opening up the door, you may cause this big wind to come in and fan up the flame, it will be Mechaber, maybe Mechaber, maybe Mabit, maybe either one. So my time in Mandiyasa, why should it be Mutna? Everything more, the Machlekes between the Brice and Abai is Ibn Rosh Mitzuyah. So the Brice holds, you're not doing anything, it's Hester Gomer, what's the problem? He's not causing anything to happen. Omar Sov and Abai thinks you shouldn't do it. Gazrinon. Masava Gazrinon. Masava la Gazrinon. Abai holds it's not right to follow this Bryce. He holds that this Bryce is not reliable. The Gemara says any Bryce that was not incorporated into the text of the Tosefta, Berab Chiv Raboshio, so lo nasvina leit minei tiyufti. You can't assume necessarily that it's too reliable. So Abai holds that this Bryce is not reliable. It doesn't appear in the Tosefta. He holds that it's wrong. You're not allowed to follow that price because he holds that it makes sense to make Xera Ruach Mitzuya or to Ruach Sheinah Mitzuya. If it'll be a Ruach Sheinah Mitzuya to open the door, it'll be a Tzikreish and Mechaber or Maver. So even to do a Ruach Mitzuya, you also make Xera the Rabban. So that's the Tosfos writes, that's the Halach. Hilkach Tzach, Lizar Shlo Lasech Hadelos, Kineged Amdura means, Atil Ruach Mitzuya. Dalait Halo Abay, Dali Basro. That's only provided Shamdur, because it's nowhere near. The door is inside, there are 10 rooms inside. So what is opening the door has no shaitas at all with it, what's going on all the way inside. It means that the Madura is very close to the door. So by opening the door, the Ruach Shein Mitzuya will have an effect on the flame.
Okay. I perceive no, in the middle case, so the worst it's going to be is Moach Darabonon, no? It's Insar Fugufa.
Okay.
So it's a Psychration by Darabonon.
Mm hmm. They have a rife in the Gemara, the Psikresha by the Rabbanon is often, right? A lot of rife. Well, Gan Avram quotes a Trumas Adeshin, who says that Psikresha is only osir if the worst that can happen is an Isa de Raisa. But if the worst that can happen is going to be an Isa de Rabbanon, then we don't prohibit Psikresha by the Rabbanon. So the Gan Avram quotes it, then he disagrees. He says there's so many hachachas from the Gemara against it. So you're right, we heard there's another hachach, many Gemaras against it. Gemara talks about moving a heavy piece of furniture on a soft earth, that if it just rained and it's very soft and the piece of furniture is very heavy, so it's a gracious, it's going to make a charitz, then you're not allowed to go around to meet the keys of the south, but actually it's kind of lost charitz. If it's a heavy key saying a soft earth, then for sure it's a gracious, not allowed. So the Gemara points out that the worst it can be is charish kalahaya. That's not the normal way to make charisha. The guy wants to make a charitz, he takes the shovel and makes a charitz. He doesn't move furniture on the ground. The worst it could be is the Rabbanon Kalahayat, and still the Gemara says that it's Sikresha, it would be awesome. There are many Harchochas, you're right. There's another Harchocha against that Truma Sadesh. Fine, so we have in the Mishnah Machlech Rabbi Yosi Nechachamim. Rabbi Yosi holds that Gram Kibi is awesome. Saying Markasha. Lememi, you mean to say that the Tanakam is Mekel, and Rabbi Yosi is the Machmer. We have a Brisa where the roles are reversed. The Rabbi Yosi is the Mekel. And the Chachamim are the Machmer. It's not exactly the opposite from what it says in the Mishnah. That's what Tosfos points out. Ibcha Shamin Alu, Ladavki Ibcha Rabbi Yosi, the Brisa, how to come over Masnit and Dosar. Rabbi Yosi says the same in the Mishnah and the Brisa, that Gram Kiba Yuzosa. But the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa is that in the Mishnah they present Rabbi Yosi as the Machmer. The Machmer on what? That he holds Gram Kiba Yuzosa, Tanakam holds, Abshim Ben Anas holds Gram Kiba Yuzmuta. And in the Brisa, they quote, they present Rabbi Yosi as being the Mekel, that both Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim hold that Gram Kibi is Osir, that there's no Sir. They both hold Gram Kibi is Osir. They just argue the details. Which case is Gram Kibi, which case are you not concerned about Gram Kibi? So that's what the Gemara says. Ibcha Shamin Aluhu, the roles are reversed in the Brisa, because in the Brisa, Rabbi Yosi is the Mekel. And the Chachamim are the Machmer, but it's not that it's reversed that Rabbi Yosi holds in the Brisa the Gram Kibbutz is Mutter. No, he still holds with his sheet the Gram Kibbutz is Osir. But he's presented as the Mekel on the details of the issue. When is it a Gram Kibbutz? The Tanya, we have the following Brisa. Osir Mechitz to the Kelim Ekonim, etc. So the Gemara says the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa. So the Gemara says, Vichitema Efech Mas Nisin, maybe we should reread the Mishnah. We should correct the reading in the Mishnah. The Rabbi Yosi is the Mekel in the Mishnah. Maybe Rabbi Yosi holds Gram Kibbutz is Mutter. And the Chacham hold Gram Kibir is also. But in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi is assuming Gram Kibir is also. So maybe we'll interpret Rabbi Yossi the Braisa with the Ram Karma. He's arguing, you hold, you and the Braisa, you hold that Gram Kibir is Mutas, and the Ram, this should be Gram Kibir, this should not be. So that, it doesn't really represent his own opinion. And maybe he's really the one who's the Mekel. So both in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, he's being Mekel. If you're going to reverse the Gears in the Mishnah, so Rabbi Yossi is going to be the Mekel in both, but he's not going to be saying the same thing. Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah is going to be saying that Gram Kibir is Mut, and the Braisa is saying Gram Kibir is Osa. So the Gemara says, well, we'll say that L'divreim the Rabbanah Tom Elohu. L'divdi I hold a Gram Kibir Samut. The Gemara says, he can't say that. Amar Abba Batar Mishnah Dera, Mantar Gram Kibir Osa Rabbi Yossi. He can't reverse the Gears in the Mishnah. It's the correct way it says. So the Gemara says, L'yolam lo tefuch, he can't change the Gears in the Mishnah, that we have a tradition. Rabbi Patachlifa says the name of Rav. Rav is the expert. Rav learned by Rabbi Yudan Nasi. He says the correct reading in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi is the machmer on the Gram Kibir. And you have to say that in the Braisa there is no machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Achachamim in which Rabbi Yossi is presented as the Mekel. The whole Braisa is Kula Rabbi Yossi. Braisa Kula Rabbi Yossi is the Mechse V'Hochi Katan. So reread the Braisa. Okay. So it comes out there's no contradiction between the way they presented the machlokes Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah with the Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi in the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi is the Machmir, and the Braisa said there is no Chachamim. There is no machlokes Rabbi Yossi in the Chachamim. They changed the gears. Now the Gemara has a new kasha. V'rami the Rabbanon are the Rabbanon, the fourth wide line. V'rami the Rabbi Yossi are the Rabbi Yossi the Tani. We have a contradiction in the halacha of Gram. Gram kiboyan Shabbos. Is a machlokes satanoim. And Gram echikas Hashem is also a machlokes satanoim. And the two tanoim are Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, and the Shita is the Hafuchois. That when it comes to Gram Kib, Rabbi Yossi is the Machmir. When it comes to Gram echikas Hashem, Rabbi Yossi is the Machmir. The Tanya Haresha Yashem Kosvaloy al Bisaroi. The guy's not Meshugana. Either he or someone is a nut. Who told him to write? On the Avdecha Ben Amasecha, right? He writes on his chest. Well, who told him to write a Shem Hashem? You're not supposed to write a Shem Hashem where it doesn't belong. A Shem Hashem belongs in a Sefer Torah, something like that. And nonetheless, even though you had no right to write it, the Chazanish points out, even though you had no right to write the Shem Hashem al Bistoroi, or the Gemara has other cases. He has a Shem Hashem, the Gemara in Erchin in the first paragraph, the guy has a Shem Hashem written on a piece of furniture or on the handle of a pot. You're not supposed to write on the furniture, you're not supposed to write on the pot. Nonetheless, the Gemara says it has the status of Kedushas Hashem, that you're not allowed to stand undressed in front of it. Basalamed b'fnei Hashem orum. The Gemara says even though you had no right, three lines from the bottom. Basalamed b'fnei Hashem. Even though you had no right to write the Shem Hashem, has the Kedushas Shem Hashem. You're not allowed to stand orum. You're not allowed to destroy. Mechikas Hashem is still osur. You have to treat the Shem with respect. Let's say it's raining outside on Shabbos. Let's say it's summertime, it's nice, and people leave Svarim and outside, the weather's nice. All of a sudden it starts to rain outside. I didn't cause the rain, I pushed the button to make it rain. Then Hashem mind to cause the rain. So if I leave all of my Svarim outside, they'll all get ruined. So I say, it's even less than Gram Mechikas Hashem. I don't have to lift a finger. You just leave everything outside. It's less than Gram. I didn't do anything. I was learning the Sefer there. The last couple of weeks I'm learning the Sefer. It never rains, never rains. In Florida, let's say, or Los Angeles, whatever. It never rains. And then one day, all of a sudden, middle of nowhere, it starts raining. So it's not my fault. When I left it outside, I didn't do anything improper. It hasn't rained for the last 3 weeks. It didn't rain for the next 3 weeks. Then all of a sudden, it starts to rain on Shabbos. I can just leave it there. Of course not. Of course, if you have an error, of course you have to take it in now. If you don't have an error, then you have to figure out in this parak, what are you allowed to do? But Malcolm designed Kisrei HaKodesh in order to save the Kisrei HaKodesh. So what's the problem? But Malcolm, there's a dleiko, so there's a whole discussion. What are you permitted to do? But Malcolm designed Kisrei HaKodesh. Don't do anything. What's the problem? So the tefillin will burn. So what's the problem? It's even less than Gram. He didn't do anything. It was Min HaShamayim that the lightning struck and there was a fire and everything was going to burn. It was Min HaShamayim that the rain came and the rain is going to destroy the storm. So the Chazanish points out on Yodayim, he has a piece on this Gemara, on Mishnayis Yodayim. So you see from this sugya, and from all the sugyas like that, that there are two dinim. There's one din of Issa Mechikas Hashem, The Pasuk says in Dvarim chapter 8, basically, Baratim Hashma Min HaMakom, there's a mitzvah of Ibud Avodah Zarah. You know, they were burning the Sheitlin and the name rocks. So you got to burn, you have to destroy Avodah Zarah. If you ascertain that it's Avodah Zarah. If you ascertain that it's Avodah Zarah, the Kruv is Avodah Zarah, Noy Avodah Zarah, something like that. So you have to, you have a mitzvah to destroy it. And if you won't destroy it, let's say, I have a Dovashal Avodah Zarah there, and I know that the animals will eat it up. The dog eats everything. Unless I control the dog. So I won't control the dog. So I'll walk with my dog and I'll let him eat up the Avodah Zarah. So then you're not Yotze, the Chazanish says, then you're not Yotze the mitzvah. If you bar to Meshmam, you got to destroy the Avodah Zarah, be Yodayim. If you destroy the Avodah Zarah, they grumble, you won't be Yotze the mitzvah. And the Bnei Brak, I think they wrote in the papers that they said a bracha when they were burning the Tikruvah Avodah Zarah. Yeah, in principle, Mustami, you do say a bracha. If you know, if it's really ascertained that it's the proof is of a desert, then you got to say a bracha before you burn it. And it should be your Maisa Mitzvah. So then the Pasuk says, L'sasim kein l'Hashem elokechem. That's a mitzvah, says to the Yivadetem. And then it says, that mitzvah sasiyah that you have to destroy a desert, be your dayim. You're not yet to be grown, but so then, L'sasim kein l'Hashem elokechem. If you do it on Hashem Hashem, or you know, it's seven Melam Zbech, or whatever is included. In the Sasan Kemal Shamakechim, if you do it, the Yodayim, with the real Asiya, then you get Malkus. Mechikas Hashem is Loika, the Raman writes in Hilchos Yisari Atar. But even aside from the case of the application of the Loisase, the Sasan Kemal Shamakechim, which only applies when you did an Asiya, whatever would have constituted the Kiyama Mitzvah, Vibar Avodah Zarah, Vibar Tamar Shmam, the Sasan Kemal, if you do it Lashamayim, that's a Loisase, you're not allowed to. But aside from that, there's another din, that if you have Shem Hashem, or if you have Tanakh written without Shem Hashem, the Gilo says there has no Shem Hashem. You have to treat it with respect and dignity, and if it starts to rain, or there's a blake, of course you have to be makor and not blake. We even have all discussions, to what extent would we permit you to be Mechal Shabbos on the level of the Rabbanon, to violate on the level of the Reis? Of course not. To what extent would we be lenient on the Surim the Rabbanon, for the sake of Hatzolos Kisya Kodesh, on Mirul Yakim, we would allow the Mokhm Hatzolos Kisya Kodesh. The carrying a Carmelist is a Machlaikis, we wouldn't allow, and Chatz Hashanah Morevis, we would allow. The Gemara says carrying Carmelist is Mokhm and Chatz Hashanah Morevis. There's a lot of details what you would allow, what not. But you see that there certainly is a mitzvah to treat with respect the Kisya HaKodesh, even if there's no Shem Hashem or the Shem Hashem, there certainly is a mitzvah to treat it with respect. So here the Gemara is going to get involved. We're going to get involved like this. The fellow's in a dilemma. Some Meshuggah wrote, either he was a Meshuggah, now he chayzeh b'tshuva, and now he doesn't know what to do. He has the Shem Hashem on his body, Hashem Kosev al Psar, right? So now he's in a dilemma. On the one hand, he has to go to mikveh. He became a Baal Tshuva, he goes to mikveh every morning, whatever, Erev Yom Kippur, whatever it is. He has to go to mikveh, Makom Mitzvah. On the other hand, it's not over an Aveira. We're not allowing, it's not Eseh Derech HaLoiseseh. We're not going to permit him to violate a Loiseseh in order to go to the mikveh. We're not prepared to say that. But on the other hand, he's supposed to treat the Shem Hashem with respect and dignity. He's supposed to treat Kisya HaKodesh with respect. To be Mechabedem. So how do you determine, in this dilemma, how do you determine which takes precedence? The covet to the Kisli HaKodesh, not to see to it, covet to the Shem Hashem, even though he wasn't supposed to write the Shem Hashem on his body. Clearly improper, but still he has to treat it with respect. So do you say that it's more important to treat the Shem with respect, or it's more important to be tovel in the mikvah? But whenever it's going to be an outright violation of the Loisaseh, then there's nothing to discuss. Then for sure, you're not allowed to violate the Loisaseh. So that's what the Tanoim all have this approach. Hashem Kosev Al Psarai. Areza Lo Yirchatz Velo Yosuch Velo Yamba B'mokam Atin Ofes. He's not allowed to take a shower and rub off the Shem Hashem. That's a Loises. That's Mechikas Hashem. Velo Yosuch, not allowed to shmir oil. Not allowed to do that. He's going to erase the Shem Hashem. Not allowed to stay B'mokam Atin Ofes in a dirty place, because he has the Shem Hashem. He has to treat it with respect. The Shaila said that he has to treat it with respect. He's Damna La Tzidu Shal Mitzvah. What does he do? What does he do? So, if it will be an outright violation of the Loisaseh, then we're not going to be Mekel. We're not going to say Esed Dechalos Esed applies really. It really applies. We're not going to say, we're not prepared to say Esed Dechalos Esed. The Shaila is, do you really have a Lois Esed? Or is it only the mitzvah of treating it with respect? If it's the mitzvah of treating it with respect, so the Tanaim are going to be noita to say that the respect for the Shem Hashem is really demonstrated by doing God's mitzvahs. So if God wants you to be tovel in the mikveh, so that's the respect to Shem Hashem. They'll tell you to be tovel in the mikveh. But if it's an outright violation of a loisah thing, then there's no hetter for that. So the Gemara presented as if that was the machlokes ha-tanoim. So Rabbi Yossi says, you're the tovel kadak v'ashlei shafsheh, no problem. As long as it's only grama, it's only the essay, it's only a mitzvah to treat the Shem Hashem with respect. You're not over on any lois essay. So the tefillah's mitzvah takes adifus, takes precedence over the mitzvah of treating the Shem with respect. Because there's no violation of a lois essay. Gram mechikas Hashem is not a violation of the lois essay of the Sassim Kain. It's just you have to treat the Shem with respect all the time. But whenever it's in conflict, an essay in conflict with another essay. We have a cloud. The Gemara has a cloud. The Leir Zaf and Chulin. Ein essay deicha essay. Essay is deicha lois essay. An essay is never deicha another essay. So what do you do when there's a conflict between one essay and the other? So the Gemara says on the Leir Zaf and Chulin, you have to figure out which essay takes precedence. Usually, how are you going to figure it out? Have you zorb mitzvah kala kavach amur sheinat eidei matn schor shal mitzvah? How are you going to figure out which one is more important? So some rare cases, we can figure out which essay takes precedence over which other essay. So here also, all the Tanoim, that's how the Chazanish presents it. All the Tanoim seem to be working with the assumption, so far, that the essay of Tzvila takes precedence over the mitzvah of treating Shem Hashem with respect. So doing the mitzvah of the Rebbe Shalom, that's the nicest way to show respect to him. But they hold, if it's going to be a violation of a lois essay, then there's no room to be made. So Rabbi Yossi holds there is no lois essay, and the Tanakam seems to hold that there is a lois essay. The Gram Mechikas Hashem is an outright love of the Lo Sasim Kein. You have to be Karach Alei Gemi V'yori Tevel with that. The Gemi will prevent the Gram Mechikas Hashem, but if you don't have a Gemi to prevent the Gram Mechikas Hashem, then Gram Mechikas is an outright violation of the Lo Sasim, there's no room to be Mekal. That's how the Gemara presents it. So isn't this a contradiction? V'rami the Rabbi Yosi are the Rabbi Yosi, V'rami the Rabbanon are the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah holds Gram Malachi on Shabbos is Asur, and here he holds that Gram Mechikas Hashem is not a lois essay. He's not saying that Gram Mechikas Hashem you just leave it alone. No, under normal circumstances you don't even allow less than Gram Mechikas Hashem. You have to be careful for the Shem Hashem. But it means that there's no outright love in Gram Mechikas Hashem. Tanakama holds that there is a love. That's why he insists Karach Alei Gemi. Here Tanakam is the one that says Lakula. So that's the Gemara's contribution. Gemara says, no. Shiny Hossam. The Omakur, Ibata, Mishmah, Makamoga, Salskan, I see with the Osir, Gram, Mishor. The reason why Rabbi Yossi is Mata because of the Pasik. Yochi, Yochanami, also the same Pasik. Gram, Mishor. Everything more, you're right. Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah really agrees with the Tanakam. The Gram, Kibuy, is Mutaman Atorah. Well, all right, that he holds Gram, Mechikas Hashem, there is no Lois essay. There's an essay of treating it with respect, but there's no. Like as Hashem Lokech Atira, but there's no lois essay. The Gemara says the reason why he asks in the Mishnah is Nugzem Tochshan Bal Amamani Sharis Lasa Lekabuye, a new consideration. The Gemara says, so why is it a contradiction? Ikach Ikasha Derabban Derabban Ma'adach Ma'hotim Darim Bal Amamono. In our case, in the Mishnah, they hold Gram Mechikas Hashem is Mutter. So Shvi Akavachem the Gram. Again, if in our Mishnah they hold Gram Kibuy is Mutter. Gram Kibuy is Mutter, even though there's room to make a Gzera, this concern, you should make a Gzera. So they don't make a Gzera, Adam Ba'olam Amonu. So they say Gram Malach is Mutter, the Gram Mechikas Hashem also, there should be no Lo Sese. So it should only be the essay of Hashem Okech Atira. So why don't they agree with Rabbi Yossi then in that case? And then more gets involved, a whole new interpretation, that the Machlek Tanakam Rabbi Yossi in the Brisa regarding Hoy Hashem Kosov Sar. It's not really a machlekes of Gram Mechikas Hashem. They all agree that Gram Mechikas Hashem, there's no lois essay. There's only the essay of Es Hashem Okech Atira. And when that essay is in conflict with the essay of Tfilas Mitzvah is a mitzvah. So that's the way to show Moira Hashem, Kavod Hashem, is by performing the mitzvah. So they all agree that that should be the root. It's a different issue involved over here. Totally different issue. So that's what we'll have to figure out. So what is the issue? Once the Gemara backs down and says that the issue is not grama, so what is the issue? Why in the world is it grama? That's another question. Why does the Gemara consider it grama? If a guy has the shame of it, is zareh, written on a piece of paper, a parchment, and he dips it into a bowl of water, and it gets erased, that's not, he's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ibaratim and Shema. He fulfilled the mitzvah 100%. He destroyed the shame of it is zareh. So if that is a violation of Ibaratim and Shema, why isn't this a violation of the Sasan Kain to take the Shema Hashem and to be tabled in the mitzvah, and the water is going to erase the whole Shema Hashem? Why does the Gemara call it grama? Why is that called the Mechika B'Yadayim? That's what the Rashba talks about. Why is the Mechika B'Yadayim? So the Chazanish explains a little bit here what the Rashba is talking about. Okay, so we'll leave that at tomorrow. We'll finish the Gemara. Not so much to discuss.